This week's parsha is Naso. It's interesting. It's not this week's parsha for everyone because here in Chutz La'aretz, we are because last Shabbos was the second day of Shavuos, so we didn't read a parsha Shavua. We read the reading that we always read on the last day of Yontif from Parsha A. But in Israel, when the last Shabbos was Shabbos, one day of Yontif, just Friday was Yontif. So last week they already read Naso, and this week they're reading Bahaloscha. But in Chutz La'aretz, we're reading Naso. We don't come back together again until in the middle of the summer, when in Chutz La'aretz, we're going to double up the parshos of Matos and Maaseh at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. So it's not that long a break. Sometimes it's a little bit longer when you have a situation at the Pesach, when the last day of Pesach is Shabbos. So there, Israel will be a parsha head for a longer period of time. This it's a shorter period of time, but nonetheless, again, there is this discrepancy for the next several weeks. So again, we'll discuss Parshas Naso this Shabbos today. The Parshas Naso, there's a lot going on. I just want to focus just on a few famous psukim, and that is the Birchas Kahanim that is found in the Parsha, and obviously it's a nice connection to Yontif because we know in Chutz La'aretz we don't duchen every day. The whole question why we don't duchen every day, but we only duchen on Yontif. And duchening Birchas Kohanim is found in this week's parsha. But what's interesting, in addition to the Kohanim reciting the Birchas Kohanim, the Kohanim, when they would say it every day in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, today in Israel, it's recited every day as well. Sfardim say it every day. The Minhag Ashkenaz, the whole question why, but not for now. Just to say it in Chutz La'aretz on Yom Tovim, but it's a bracha that is set aside exclusively for Kohanim. And yet, many may be familiar that there are a number of people that have a custom that they'll recite this bracha, even not Kohanim, when they bless their children, both Friday night. People will do it on Erev Yom Kippur. It's found a lot of machzorim that they'll bless their children, grandchildren before Yom Kippur, and also often at weddings, parents, grandparents will bless their children. Often you might wonder what's going on when the chassan is escorted to the to do the badekan to cover the veil over the kala. It takes 2 seconds. And yet, normally he lingers for another 5, 10 minutes. Why is he lingering for so long? That's when we like try to get the grandfathers and the fathers involved in the wedding ceremony, and that's often when they come forward and they'll give a bracha to the kala, and the bracha that they'll give the kala is they can say Rivka, and often then they'll also do Birchas Kohanim, even if they're not Kohanim, and then they'll say whatever else they want to say. So that's sometimes what takes long. Especially if there's fathers and grandfathers and great grandfathers and I don't know, godfathers and great uncle, whoever wants to give the bracha, so that can take quite a long period of time. And so the poskim actually discussed how is this allowed? I thought the only thing Kohanim, right? The pasuk says that Ber el Aron vel banav le'mor kol sevarchu, you will bless the Jewish people with this blessing. Again, I'm not going to go through detail right now, but the poskim do talk about how it's permitted. It could be that only in the within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, or within the context of prayer, are the Kohanim only the Kohanim are allowed to do this bracha. But outside official avoda service in the Beis HaMikdash and outside of prayer, anyone can invoke this bracha. There's other answers as well, but that is discussed. But that's what I want to spend just a few moments about. I thought about this this past year actually in Parshas Vayichi. In Vayichi is where we find the other bracha that parents give us sons in particular of Yisimcha, where parents bless their sons, it should be like Ephraim and Menasha. And so again, you'll often see in a siddur or in a machzor, the two of these brachos go together. And it's not uncommon that parents will say both these brachos at the same time. When I was growing up, my father just said the bracha, but some people put the two of them together. And is there a connection between these two brachas? Is there a reason why specifically these two blessings will go to together? So I want to give the following suggestion. Let me start with Yisimcha Elokim Ephraim Menashe. By God should make you like Ephraim and Menashe. And that's a bracha that Yaakov gives Yosef that in the future people will bless their children, that they should be like Ephraim and Menashe. And the question that one asked is that I understand why we bless our daughters, that they should be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. What better bracha can you give your daughter that they should be like our matriarchs? But the obvious question is, so why don't we bless our sons that they should be like our patriarchs, like Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? Why specifically do we give them a bracha that they should be like Ephraim and Menashe? And there are a couple of suggestions. One suggestion is that Ephraim and Menashe were very successful. They sort of lived the Egyptian dream, right? They grew up in Egypt and in their father's household, and they were successful. They were very well-to-do. Yosef was second in command in Egypt. And on some level, one could suggest that the bracha that we're giving our children when Shabbos enters, and by the way, just as a quick aside, why is the bracha given when Shabbos enters specifically? Right, Friday night's a time. So it's very interesting. I found a sefer here at home called Bishvilei HaMinhag, where it's a book on Jewish customs. And he says the following, that two possibilities, why the bracha is given Friday night. Number one, Kein Satan Upagara B'Shabbos Yikatrik Al Bracha. That there's some tradition, some Kabbalistic tradition, that the Satan, the Satan, has no power on Shabbos. And therefore, if we invoke a bracha during the rest of the week, you know, the Satan can say, what do you mean a bracha? They're not so deserving a bracha. These kids always misbehave. They're no good. You know, the parents are terrible parents. They're really deserving giving a bracha. But Friday night, the Satan is silence or silence. God doesn't allow the Satan to intervene, so it's a good time to invoke a blessing. Or a fascinating suggestion, they quote from the Oser HaTfilos, that you know what happens during the week? What do parents do with their children? They yell and scream at their children. They berate their children. They're upset with their children, right? They're not going to bed on time. They got a phone call from the Rebbe, from the Mora. The kid misbehaved in school, so they're not happy. But comes Friday night, no phone calls from the Rebbe. No, the kids, everyone is home. It's a time of simcha, of joy, a time of peace, a time of serenity, sitting around the Shabbos table. Different parents feel good about their kids, so that's the time that they'll give them a bracha. That's another interesting suggestion, why Dafka specifically, the bracha is Friday night. So come to the table Friday night, so you give this bracha, can the boys speak like Ephraim and Menashe? And it could be, it's a bracha that they should be successful, like Ephraim and Menashe. From a success in the sense of a monetary perspective, in terms of physical things, in terms of their needs should be met, their needs should be provided for, that kol mishal sivchem, all that they desire and hope for in this world should be fulfilled. Again, just like Ephraim and Asher lived a very nice life growing up in their parents' household. That's one possibility. The other, I think, more famous possibility is that we want our kids to be like Ephraim and Menashe in the sense that, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, well, certainly their lives weren't perfect, but they were living in Israel, and they were able to connect with God, and they lived amongst the Canaanim, but they also lived separate from the Canaanim. But Ephraim and Menashe lived a very different existence, right? They grew up in Egypt. And they were only Jews in Egypt, and they were surrounded by Egyptian culture, which the Torah describes as a corrupt a culture, one of promiscuity and all idolatry, all types of terrible things. And yet, Ephraim and Menashe came out great, right? That God tells Yaakov that Ephraim and Menashe are going to be tribes in Israel, like Reuven, Shimon, Yuli. They'll be just like Reuven and Shimon in terms of tribes, and therefore the bracha that we give our sons is you should be like Ephraim and Asher, that you're going to be out there in the world and you're not always going to be in the in this in the most in a pristine state and in a state where there's like complete the kedusha and tara, the holiness and sanctity that's not going to surround you. You're gonna be out there in the world, out there at work, surrounded in all different types of in environments, and you're certainly not going to be in any utopian existence. And yet you should remain committed as a Jew, like Ephraim and Manasseh. Remain committed to the values of your of your parents. Remain strong. We even have traditions that that Ephraim would learn with Yaakov and right hand man, and like they remain committed. They remain strong in their Yahdus and their Judaism. And that's the bracha that we give to our children. And finally, again, there could be more, but then the third possibility that I saw is that I think we probably mentioned this in the past. Is that Ephraim and Manasseh, when you go through the story of Sefer Bereishis, so when it comes to brothers, brothers get a thumbs up or a thumb down in Sefer Bereishis. So they get a big thumbs down, right? It starts off no good right in the beginning, right? Cain and Hevel goes downhill from there. Shem, Cham, and Yafes, right? All different types of reactions to their father Noach when he becomes drunk. And yeah, obviously you have Avram in different directions and his brothers Haran and Nahor, and then you have of course Yitzchak and Yishmael and Yaakov and Esav and Yosef and his brothers. No good, right? Strife and disagreement and different directions. All of a sudden, Baruch Hashem, you come to the end of a Sefer Bereishis, and we're introduced to Ephraim and Manasseh. And as far as we know, they were wonderful together. They got along. We don't see any stories of them, having problems with one another. They both have different roles, but they serve their father, and they emerge strong. And again, they become tribes in Israel. Right? There's not a tribe of Yosef. There's a tribe of Ephraim. There's a tribe of Manasseh. So beautiful. And it's a beautiful message of not giving up. And you never know what will be. And finally, we have two successful brothers. So again, there could be more possibilities, but you have these three you have these three approaches that parents can be thinking about, grandparents, when they give their kids a bracha. Your sons, you should pick Ephraim and Manasseh. Why specifically Ephraim and Manasseh and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Because we're trying to invoke these three ideas, to be successful from a materialistic perspective, financial perspective. That's number one. Number two, to remain committed and strong to Hashem, to Torah, even when we're sometimes not in the best and most conducive environments. And number three, that there should be shalom, there should be peace, there should be unity. So that's perhaps what one can think about when they say this bracha. So what's now the connection to Birchas Kohanim? So I think there's now a profound and many levels most obvious connection to Birchas Kohanim. How do we understand Birchas Kohanim? Right, again, it's just three prong bracha. Three, Yivracha Hashem Yishmracha. Number one, Yer Hashem Banal V'Lachav Yichuneka. Number two, Yisrael Hashem Banal V'Lachav Yisrael Mechash Shalom. Number three. So the Medrash comments, the Sifri comments on these psukim, and tells us that what is the bracha that's being given. The first one is Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, says the Medrash. Yivarecha Hashem bin Nechasim. God should bless you with Nechasim. Nechasim are materials, materialistic objects. You should acquire possessions from a financial perspective. That you should be successful. In fact, in Bereishis, what's the bracha that God gives Adam? Yivarech Osam Elokim, God blesses them. Yom Elokim, Peru Ruvum Lulus Aretz Akiv Shua. Urdu Bid Gas Layom Ova Shemayim Echoch Asar Mes Al Aretz. You should be successful. You should rule over, conquer the earth, rule over the animals. You should earn a living. You should find success. You should amass money and wealth and honor and kavod and all this stuff to serve Hashem. But you should live a good life, a life of prosperity, a life of success. And Vishmaracha is that, and God should protect it. You know, you shouldn't lose it. You shouldn't, it shouldn't be stolen. It, you shouldn't, things shouldn't go bad, and you lose your wealth and your honor and things of that nature. So isn't that interesting? So the first bracha is about, again, success, and coming back to what we said about with Ephraim and Menasheh. We the first suggestion we gave is, what do you mean to make Ephraim and Menasheh? Same thing. Be successful like they were. Right? They grew up in Yosef's household, one of prosperity and one of wealth and honor. Just like Ephraim and Menasheh had that blessing, we bless our children as well. That's Yivarech Hashem, V'yish Merecha. What's the next, the middle bracha? Yo'er Hashem panav elecha v'ichuneka. Right? That God's countenance should shine upon you and he shall be gracious to you. So says the same Sifri, the same Medrash, Rabbi Nasan Omer Zem Ma'or HaShechina. You should feel God's presence in your life. Right? You should feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That God should turn to you and you should feel God turning to you. You should be a committed Jew. A Jew who's involved in Torah and in the performance of mitzvot and ma'asim tovim and good deeds. Isn't that also the bracha that we give with Ephraim and Asher? Right, that's the bracha that Ephraim and Asher remain committed Jews in Mitzrayim. In spite of their surroundings, they remained strong. They remained devoted. They didn't lose their connection to their father and to their grandfather. They remained strong Jews. In fact, they became tribes of the Jewish people. And so that's the second bracha. And finally, the third bracha is Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. God should turn His face towards you. Yaseim Lecha Shalom, and should provide, give you peace. And so, at that, and the Medrash says here, Gadol Shalom, right? What's the greatest bracha? The ultimate bracha that we want? We want peace. Shein Chosin Kol Brachos El Shalom. All brachos end with Shalom, right? Shmon Esrei. What's the last bracha of Shmon Esrei? Shalom, right? The davening kash ends with Oseh Shalom b'Ramav. Shmon Esrei too. We take three steps back. Oseh Shalom b'Ramav. That's how we end benching with Shalom. If you don't have Shalom, you can't enjoy your wealth. You can't enjoy your prosperity. You can't sit and learn Torah. If the missiles are flying, you got to run to the bomb shelters, and you can't function if there's not Shalom. Right, if there's not a peace, so that's the ultimate, that's the final bracha that we give. And coming back to Ephraim and Asher, guess what? The third suggestion is that we gave. And why do we bless the children? They speak Ephraim and Asher, because who were the two brothers in Sefer Bereishis that got along? Which two brachas lived b'shalom with one another, in peace with one another? Wasn't Cain and Hevel? And it wasn't Shem, Cham, and Yafes, and it wasn't Avram and Nachor and Haran, it wasn't Yitzchak and Yishmael, and it wasn't Yaakov and Esav, it wasn't Yosef and the other 11 brothers, it was Ephraim and Manasseh. They lived b'shalom, and therefore that's the bracha that we give our children. And so I think what emerges is that now these brachas beautifully complement one another. Right? They perfectly line up. Everything that the Kohanim would say when they would bless the Jewish people about prosperity, about having a connection to God and to Torah, being devout Jews, and finally the notion of shalom, of peace, is exactly what we're doing when we're saying our sons should be like Ephraim and Menasseh. They line up perfectly together, and perhaps I just want to suggest. That's how, at some point over time, these two brachos sort of came together. That again, if you look in some of the svarim that talk about, let's say Erev Yom Kippur, for example, like the Chayyadim, for example, he talks about, you know, giving the children the bracha Yisimcha Hashem Kefraim Chavanasha. Doesn't mention anything about Birchas Kohanim, but at some point he crept in, because again, if you look in the Machzor. And you look at a lot of Sidurim, you see often that these two go together. And it could be from your own experience, you yourself have done, you've seen others, that they give these two brachos together at the same time. whether it's going into Shabbos, whether it's at a wedding, whether it's Erev Yom Kippur. And I'm just suggesting that the reason perhaps that they go together because they actually fall in line. They actually are all both of them are saying the exact same thing, and they really encapsulate what we hope for our children. We all want our children to be successful. We don't want them to struggle in life. We want them to be able to earn a parnasa, a living. They shouldn't be dependent upon others in terms of handouts and things of that nature. And so that we want that for our children. Number two, we want them to be good Jews. We want to be devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to feel be proud Jews and be Jews that are committed and fulfill the dictates of our Torah and the halacha and performance of mitzvot. That they should have a beautiful connection to Torah and to Judaism and to Hashem. And then, of course, we want them to be b'shalom. We don't want our kids, God forbid, to have to live in a world of war and where there's constant strife and terrible friction. We want there to be shalom. And we therefore express those through the mechanism of these two brachas, this bracha, Birchas Kohanim, as well as this bracha, the Birchas Habanim, the bracha that we give our children at these different occasions during the year. Okay, that's it. Wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.